Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Terrence Woods Jr. was supposed to be on an adventure of a lifetime. He was a young filmmaker from Maryland, working his way up the industry ladder, hired to shoot a gold mining reality series deep in the Idaho wilderness. He'd texted his dad that he'd be home earlier than planned. Something had shifted, and he couldn't wait to get back. But on October 5th, 2018, as the crew wrapped for the day on the edge of the remote, razor-steep cliffs of the Penman Mine, Terrence vanished. Witnesses say he suddenly dropped his radio, sprinted toward the tree line, and vanished into a violent vertical landscape where even rescuers struggled to stand. Crews scoured the canyon. Helicopters swept the forest. Search dogs tracked. But nothing was found. The production team insisted he simply bolted. His family insisted something was very wrong. And in the years since, the only thing we've found are questions. Let's travel into Idaho's Hell's Canyon, one of the most unforgiving places in the United States, to retrace Terrence's final known moments and the mysteries that followed. To understand what happened to Terrence Woods Jr., it helps to understand the land that swallowed him up, not just physically, but spiritually and historically. Idaho County is not your typical slice of America. It is vast, rugged, and ancient. The largest county in the state of Idaho, carved by glaciers and rivers, wrapped in forests, and defined by mountains that rise like silent sentinels over valleys that seem to go on forever. Named in the 1860s after the steamboat Idaho that carried miners and supplies up the rivers during the gold rush, this is territory born of ambition and commotion, where men once risked everything for the glint of gold in a pan. Miners poured into what would become Idaho County with dreams of striking it rich. Towns and camps like Elk City sprang up almost overnight after gold was discovered in the South Fork Clearwater River. At its peak, Elk City buzzed with more than 2,000 residents. Saloons, general stores, blacksmith shops, before fire and economic decline shrank it back to its quiet roots. Today, Elk City feels like something out of a Western novel. A remote outpost more comfortable with silence than noise, surrounded by the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest, where hunters, anglers, hikers, and storytellers find refuge from the modern world. The roads that lead here, long, winding, and often unpaved, follow rivers that once guided mule trains and wagons laden with prospecting gear. They dip into canyons and climb back up again, brushing forests and creeks, inviting those who seek solitude or adventure, or both. For travelers, it's not uncommon to see elk grazing at dawn or to watch alpine trout break the surface of a mountain stream as the sun rises. And then there are the mines. Mines like Penman, the very earth that Gold Rush, Dave Turin's lost mine, sent crews into. Those are scattered through these rugged hillsides. At elevations above 6,000 feet, Penman and its neighbor claims are remnants of a century-old quest for precious metals that defined the region. Gold Rush, Dave Turn's lost mine, was a spin-off from Discovery's long-running Gold Rush franchise. Starring Dave Turin and his team, the series sent miners into abandoned gold-bearing ground and disused claims across the West, searching for new riches where others had long left off. The show turned landscapes like Idaho counties into greater audiences. The sweeping skies, steep chutes, forested ridges, and old mine roads forming the backdrop for both triumph and struggle. That world, so familiar to television audiences, is a place of stark contrasts. By day, the sunlight is golden and bright on a river's rippling surface. By night, the wilderness swallows color and sound, leaving only the whisper of wind through cedar and pine. Visitors who come through this part of Idaho often do so for the same reasons miners once did: the lure of wild beauty and the echo of history. Some drive up the Gold Loop Tour near Elk City, tracing 60-plus miles of backcountry road through old mining sites, ditches dug by hand, and remnants of towns that once prospered and then vanished. Others pack fishing gear, seeking trout in shimmering streams, or saddle up horses for dusty trails through the Magruder Corridor, a historic wilderness road that stretches into nearly untouched national forests. In summer, anglers chased steelhead and salmon in riverbends, while the skies overhead turn every shade of blue and gold before dark. In winter, groomed trails beckon snowmobilers and cross-country skiers into a quiet world of crystalline frost and deep, snow-laden forests. Yet for all its beauty and history, this place has a ruthless side. The very terrain that draws dreamers and adventurers, steep ridges, thick timber, and forgotten mine shafts, is unforgiving to the unwary. The forests conceal ravines and rocky slopes. The ground is uneven, unpredictable, and at times impossible to navigate, even with experienced guides. And when the light fades, that same wilderness becomes impenetrable. This is the land where Terrence stepped off the known world and into the unknown. But while the wilderness may tell one part of this story, Terrence's life tells another. And to understand how strange his disappearance truly was, you need to know the man behind the camera. Before the mystery, before the questions, before the search helicopters and press conferences and years of waiting, there was simply Terrence.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Terrence Woods Jr. was born in Maryland, one of four children in a close-knit family just outside of Washington, D.C. in Prince George's County. He grew up surrounded by the rhythm of a big household and blended family, a sister, two brothers, parents who encouraged education and creativity, a community where neighbors knew each other's names, and where Terrence's laughter was one of those sounds people remembered. From the time he was little, Terrence was a dreamer, a singer, a kid who lit up a room without even meaning to. His family describes him as the kind of child who was always trying to make someone else smile. Goofy, sweet, full of music and imagination. The kind of little boy who hummed tunes while he worked, who tried to cheer up classmates when they were having a bad day. It was just who he was, and that never changed. As he grew up, Terrence channeled that energy, that curiosity and creative spark, into storytelling, film, journalism, producing. He was bubbly, passionate, and fiercely hardworking. You could see the trajectory forming. A young man on his way to a long and successful career in television, building a reputation for showing up early, doing the job right, and caring deeply about every project he touched. He studied at the University of Maryland, graduating with a drive to go further. And he did. Terrence moved to London and attended Richmond, the American International University, earning not one, but two master's degrees in journalism. While other people in their 20s were still trying to figure out their path, Terrence had already committed himself to the craft of storytelling, with a focus and discipline that impressed everyone around him. London became a second home, 5 years of growth, independence, and momentum. He worked for ITV, the British television network, learning the ropes of the industry, building relationships, and earning trust. Colleagues described him as completely reliable and intelligent, the kind of person you could hand a problem to and know he'd solve it, the kind of person who made long production days feel shorter. And he contributed to major productions. The Voice UK, BBC One's Saving Africa's Elephants, Hugh and the Ivory War, and other global projects that sent him traveling, learning, observing the world. He had a passport full of stamps and a mind full of stories. And everywhere he went, from Africa to the UK to the US, people said the same thing. Terrence was kind, loving, steady, present. Not someone who drifted in and out of people's lives, but someone who left an impression. And then in 2018, after years abroad, Terrence did something surprising. He came home. He moved back into his father's house in Maryland that July. Not out of failure, not because something was wrong, but because he wanted to be near his family again. And he brought everything with him, his clothes, his equipment, his life in boxes. He settled into a room he already knew, started working remotely for ITV for a short period, and embraced the simple comfort of home. Breakfast with his dad, long conversations with siblings, the feeling of grounding after years of airports and foreign cities. And then an opportunity came along. A short-term freelance contract from Raw TV, a London-based production company he'd worked with briefly. They needed someone dependable for a 6-week shoot in the Western United States, working on a spin-off of the Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. The project would take him deep into Idaho County, to Penman Mine, a rugged, forested landscape outside Elk City, a place where mountains fold in on themselves, where abandoned mining tunnels run beneath the earth, and where the wilderness feels almost prehistoric. Terrence was supposed to be part of capturing that world, documenting the reopening of an old mine for Gold Rush Dave Turin's Lost Mine, which would later premiere in 2019. It was the kind of gig freelancers take all the time. A new location, a new team, a chance to expand a resume already glowing with international credits. He told his family he'd be gone until the second week of November. Just 6 weeks. A blink in the world of TV production. He packed, expecting a normal job. A straightforward assignment. Another step in a career rising steadily, quietly, and confidently. He couldn't have known how many people would one day look back on those final days. Colleagues, investigators, journalists, and most of all his family, searching for answers about a young man whose presence was warm and unforgettable, and whose absence would leave a hole that could never be filled. Because Terrence Woods wasn't just a name in a headline. He was a son, a brother, a friend, a creative soul who dreamed big, worked hard, and loved deeply. Someone who made joy for other people without even trying. Someone who should still be here.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Before Terrence ever stepped foot on that Idaho mountainside, the people who knew him best sensed something was off. In the days leading up to the shoot, Terrence told his father and a few close relatives that he didn't really want to go. He couldn't explain it clearly. Just a bad feeling, heaviness in his chest, a sense that something about this trip wasn't right. But Terrence was responsible. Committed. He told his dad that he'd agreed to do the job and he was going to see it through, even if he didn't understand the uneasy feeling tugging at him. On Sunday, September 30th, Terrence's father drove him to the Reagan National Airport. They hugged goodbye. Terrence promised he'd call when he landed. And he did. On October 1st, he texted his dad, "I made it. Everything's going good." He sounded fine, normal, the way he always did. The first leg of the shoot took him to Montana. Now, for several days, Terrence sent photos and messages, snapshots of wide open skies, mountains rising like ancient stone, the kind of rugged beauty that looks unreal unless you're standing inside it. Nothing in those texts hinted at fear or distress, just a young filmmaker doing his job. Then, on October 4th, his dad received another message. "Hey, Dad, just got to the hotel in Idaho." A few hours later, a video came through. It was a river slicing through a canyon, the kind of landscape that humbles you, ancient and wild and indifferent. And Terrence had always been drawn to places like that. Now, later that night, almost midnight in Idaho, Terrence called home. He told his dad he made it safely. His father, half awake, asked if he was okay. Terrence said yes. He was calm, steady. So his dad said he'd call him back when he got up. Nothing about the call suggested that it would be the last time his father heard his voice. On the morning of October 5th, the same day Terrence vanished, he texted his dad again. It was 5:44 a.m. Idaho time. He wrote, "I'll be back on the 10th now, Dad." No explanation, no reason for cutting the trip short. He was still supposed to be there for 2 more weeks. But now he was coming home in just 5 days. Later, investigators learned that in an email to Raw TV, Terrence had written that he was leaving the shoot early because he wanted to see his mother, Valerie, who he said had health issues. But Valerie wasn't having health issues. At least nothing urgent. Nothing that would require him to come home. So why had he told the production company that? And where did the story come from? Well, no one knows. Now, his dad was relieved and didn't think much of it. He replied, "That's excellent. Make sure you bring me a shot glass from everywhere. Be safe. I love you, and I'm very proud of you." But Terrence's father doesn't know if his son ever saw that message. He sent it around 3 p.m. Idaho time. And by then, Terrence was already deep in the woods with the film crew, hours away from cell service, surrounded by mountains and a silence so heavy it pressed against your ears. The next call his father received, it wasn't from Terrence. It was from London. A Raw TV executive's voice came over the phone. "I have some news for you. We have a problem with your son. Your son's missing." They said a production manager from the shoot, a man named Simon G, would be calling soon to explain. But no one ever actually explained what happened during the shoot on October 5th on that mountainside. The shoot was moving along as planned, high in the uncertain terrain of the Oro Grande, a place where the earth crumbles under your feet, where old mining roads dive into steep canyon walls, where a single misstep can send rocks skittering hundreds of feet below. Now, as the sun dipped toward the evening, the crew was wrapping for the day. And that's when everything changed. A local woman, one of two hired to help shuttle the crew around the rugged roads, said Terrence approached her and said he needed to use the bathroom. Nothing unusual, nothing strange. But moments later, without warning, Terrence dropped his radio in the dirt and bolted. Witnesses say he sprinted toward the edge of a steep, forested cliff, moving with speed that didn't seem possible on that terrain, and threw himself down the slope, disappearing into the dense trees. There were multiple witnesses, crew members, locals, people who had been with him all day. But two key witnesses emerged in official accounts, that local woman and Simon G. Both said the same thing. Terrence ran fast, faster than they'd ever seen, faster than anyone could understand on a cliff like that. And there were 11 people on that mountain that day, but not one of them could catch him. Several tried. Simon and a few locals scrambled down the cliff after him, only to be cut up, covered in blood, clothes torn by brush and rock. The terrain was brutal, unforgiving. Simon later told Terrence's father that he'd never seen anyone run like that before, that Terrence was moving faster than a hare. And that's a detail that never sat right with the Woods family, because Terrence wasn't an overly athletic man. In fact, he had flat feet, which would have made it difficult, if not impossible, for him to run through the woods jumping off cliffs like that. Terrence's disappearance was reported to the Idaho County Sheriff's Office at 6:41 p.m. But deputies said that because it was so late, the search wouldn't begin until the next morning. They waited 12 hours. 12 critical hours in the cold, in the dark, in a wilderness where temperatures drop fast and predators roam. In the 911 call log, the caller from the crew told dispatch that Terrence had been emotional earlier in the day, that he'd had a mental breakdown, and that the team thought he'd been acting a little weird. But Terrence's communications with his family and his behavior in Montana told a different story. Still, those descriptions shaped the earliest assumptions about the case. For 7 days, search teams combed the area. Foot crews, dogs, helicopters sweeping low along the ridgelines. The only significant clue was that there were no clues. The dogs did not track Terrence. There were no pieces of clothing caught in the trees. No drops of blood. No tracks. No footprints. Just nothing. He didn't go to any nearby homes. He didn't knock on doors. Didn't call for help. Just nothing. Terrence Sr. struggles to believe the official version given to him by Raw TV officials and police. He said, "You're telling me that my 97-pound son ran down that cliff without tripping, without falling, without leaving a trace of blood or a piece of clothing, and that he ran like a hare and no one could catch him?" Now, to the entire Woods family, and probably most listeners, it just doesn't add up. Raw TV flew Terrence's parents to Idaho in the days after his disappearance. And when they met with Simon G., Valerie recalls him saying that Terrence had been a disappointment, someone who didn't live up to expectations. Now, who says that about someone who had just vanished while under their responsibility? She also described Simon as cold. Now, Raw TV later disputed this, saying Simon only commented that Terrence seemed distracted to help determine whether the behavior was out of character. They said Terrence struggled with some tasks, but improved with support. They also emphasized that he was well-liked and valued, and that the disappearance devastated the entire team. But let's take into account that Terrence was the only Black crew member on that shoot in Idaho, and that his parents couldn't shake the feeling that something about the dynamic there, something unspoken, hadn't been right. Maybe he was intimidated, or mistreated, or simply felt unsafe. Raw TV denies this. The sheriff's office found no evidence to support claims of wrongdoing. But the Woods family's doubts remain. What happened on that mountainside in Idaho? Why did Terrence run? Why are there so many inconsistencies from witnesses? A young man who is loving, intelligent, accomplished, and grounded does not simply sprint into a forest and disappear without a trace. But that's exactly what happened. And after all these years, the canyon still holds its silence. Terrence Woods Jr. is still missing. Terrence's footsteps vanished at the base of that cliff. But the questions never did. And in the absence of answers, all we're left with are possibilities, theories, that range from the logical to the unsettling. So let's step back, retrace the contradictions, and explore what might explain Terrence's final moments on that mountain.
Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When a man disappears without a trace, the silence he leaves behind fills with theories. And in Terrence's case, that silence is enormous. 12 hours without a search, conflicting accounts from the crew, no physical evidence, and a cliffside that seems almost designed to swallow the truth whole. So we'll step into the possibilities, not to solve them, but to sit with them, to feel their weight, and to understand why none of them, not one, settles the unease around Terrence Woods Jr. Now the first theory is the darkest, and the one Terrence's parents cannot let go of. They believe something happened on that shoot, something their son witnessed or experienced, and that Raw TV has been hiding it, or at least leaving out key pieces of the story. They believe Terrence was mistreated, or isolated, or scared. That the strange comments about his performance afterward were not an explanation, but rather a distraction. But law enforcement says otherwise. The Idaho County Sheriff's Office found no evidence of foul play. And Sheriff Doug Giddings said there was no proof of mistreatment. Still, he did acknowledge an uneasy dynamic between Terrence and the crew. He said Terrence wasn't happy there, and several people weren't happy with him. That tug of war is where this theory lives. Some tension? Yes. Something criminal? No proof. And then there's the practical question. Could an entire production crew keep a secret this large for this long? Cover-ups collapse. People talk. Guilt leaks out in late-night texts and accidental admissions. And nothing like that has surfaced. So, is foul play impossible? No. But is it provable? No. And the longer time stretches on, the harder that shadow becomes to define. Then, there's the possibility that Terrence did make it to the road at the base of the cliff, a belief that could have been supported by the search dogs. If he reached the road, could a passing vehicle have hit him accidentally and panicked? Could someone have stopped, picked him up, and harmed him? Was it a stranger, a hunter, a traveler passing through? Maybe someone he knew? Possibly. But this theory has cracks. The road is remote, not just quiet, but almost hidden. It's not a highway. This isn't even a Forest Service road most tourists would use. The odds of a killer just happening to drive by at the exact moment Terrence emerged from the trees feels small. Very small. And yet, crimes of opportunity do happen. People panic. People flee responsibility. People make impossible decisions under fear. Still, the question lingers. Why Terrence? Why there? Why then? A random predator waiting in those hills seems unlikely. But the world has delivered stranger cruelties before. Now, some suggest Terrence staged his disappearance. That he ran, deliberately, into a new life somewhere far from Idaho, free from work pressures or personal strain. But almost everything about Terrence's life contradicts that. He was extremely close to his family. His bank account has never been touched. He left no note, no trail, and no evidence of planning. And if this was an elaborate escape, it would have required coordination. Someone waiting at the exact spot he'd hit on the road. A getaway vehicle timed to the second. A clean transition into a new identity. All without cell contact, without money, without slipping up once in the years since. Could someone do that? Yes. But would Terrence, grounded, loving, and responsible, do that? His family says absolutely not. And nothing in his documented behavior suggests otherwise. This theory is technically possible, but the emotional and logistical odds are nearly zero. And what about a tragic accident? Now, this is, in many ways, the simplest explanation. Terrence ran. He fell. He slipped into a ravine, an abandoned mine shaft, or a tangle of forest so dense search crews never found him. Or he succumbed to the elements, or a wild animal. In Idaho's backcountry, accidents happen fast, and often invisibly. Rocks crumble under your feet. Old mining tunnels collapse silently. Dense brush can hide a body for years. This theory fits the landscape, but it does not answer why Terrence ran in the first place. Why did he move that fast? What triggered that flight, that panic or urgency or decision? And if it was an accident, why has nothing, not a shoe, not a piece of cloth, not a bone, been found? 7 days of searching, helicopters overhead, dogs on the ground, and nothing. The theory the crew leaned on most heavily was a sudden mental break. They told authorities Terrence had been emotionally distressed that day, that he'd struggled with simple tasks, that he seemed weird, that he'd never been in the woods before, something they said contributed to his panic. But this version of Terrence does not match his real-life record. For years, colleagues praised him as exceptional, calm, sharp, mature beyond his age. He worked internationally, handled pressure, met deadlines, managed complex shoots with grace. Nothing in his past, nothing in his travels, his schooling, his work, suggested instability. And if he had been in emotional crisis, where was the documentation? The call to a medic? The report to a supervisor? Anything? But there's nothing. Just retrospective descriptions given after he vanished. Could someone experience an abrupt psychological break? Yes, it's possible. But the lack of prior signs and the contradiction with his entire professional history makes this theory feel thin. Like trying to explain the unexplainable by rewriting who he was. And maybe the most unsettling theory, was he ever even there? This theory is whispered and unsettling, not because it's likely, but because the pieces of the puzzle support it in eerie ways. When the search dogs were brought to the site, they never picked up his scent at the mine. Not once. And when Terrence's father received his son's belongings from the hotel, he noticed something strange. Terrence had been in Idaho for 4 days, but all the clothes sent home were still folded, clean, and unworn. Not one dirty shirt, not one used pair of socks or underwear. Nothing that showed he'd lived in that room. So where were the clothes he had been wearing? Where did they go? And why were his shoes, returned separately in a plastic bag, covered in mud? There are no photos of him on set, no casual team snapshots, no video stills of him in the background. For a production crew, that absence is unusual. Now, are there plausible explanations? Yes. Search dogs can miss scents in rugged terrain. Housekeeping could have washed or folded clothes. Shoes get muddy on shoots. But standing together, these details create a theory that feels like a shadow. Impossible to fully touch, but impossible to fully dismiss. Was Terrence on that mountain? Or was the story of his final moments created after the fact? No evidence proves it. No evidence disproves it. It sits there, on the edge of the case, like a fog that refuses to clear. Every theory has a crack. Every explanation circles back to unanswered questions. And the truth, whatever it is, remains buried somewhere between human behavior, wilderness, and secrets no one has been able to name.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We tell stories like Terrence's not just to chase mystery, but to learn, to reflect on what the wilderness demands of us, physically, emotionally, and socially, and how fragile safety can be when we step beyond the familiar. His disappearance happened in Idaho's backcountry, a place of solitude that can feel sacred, but where danger lurks in wind-whispered trees and hidden ravines. And if there's one truth about remote wilderness, it's this. Being prepared isn't a luxury, it's survival. Before heading into the woods, especially for work or extended travel, you must plan purposefully. Local conditions change quickly in wildlands, and knowing the terrain, the weather forecast, and potential hazards is not just smart, it's essential. That means researching the land, checking with local BLM or Forest Service offices, and telling someone you trust where you're going and when you intend to return. Even today's cell phones, unreliable in places like Oro Grande, are not sufficient backup. In remote areas, satellite communicators or personal locator beacons can be lifelines, bridging the silent gap where regular communication fails. The wilderness doesn't wait for you to be ready. So anticipate everything. Extra food, water, clothing layers, lighting, GPS or a compass, first aid kits, and solutions for emergencies are not optional extras. They're necessities. If you twist an ankle or get caught out overnight, those small items can be life-saving. And Idaho's forests aren't only filled with towering evergreens and quiet streams. They're home to wildlife. Elk, bear, mountain lions, creatures that deserve respect and space. Keeping a safe distance, listening rather than startling, and carrying deterrents in bear country are vital parts of protecting both you and the animals that live there. Understanding how to handle fire responsibly and knowing how to avoid creating hazards protects not just you, but whole ecosystems, especially in places where drought or wind can turn a single spark into a wildfire. Now, Terrence was not out hiking alone. He was part of a crew, a temporary family of sorts, thrown together to make a production. But working with strangers in the wild introduces unique risks. When you're navigating steep ground, heavy equipment, and logistical challenges alongside people you've barely met, communication isn't just helpful, it's essential. Clear expectations, shared safety briefings, and mutual understanding of each person's experience level can mean the difference between confidence and confusion. Remote work, especially when it involves physically demanding tasks, carries its own hazards. People may assume someone else has checked in, someone else has the gear, someone else knows the route, and sometimes no one actually does. This shared assumption can be dangerous, particularly when working in wild terrain, far from help. In a wilderness setting, your instincts are often your earliest warning system. When something doesn't feel right, whether it's about the terrain, the pace of travel, or the dynamic of a group, trust that feeling. If your gut says, slow down, check in, then slow down and check in. Make space to talk openly about concerns. In remote work environments, honest communication can prevent misunderstandings and keep everyone safer. And this extends to social and cultural dynamics as well. Remote crews, especially when diverse or composed of individuals from different backgrounds, benefit from respect, empathy, and inclusion. Leaders who create space for team members to express concerns, both personal and professional, foster not only healthier environments, but safer ones. Inclusive practices aren't just moral. They support clearer communication, trust, and cohesion in remote and challenging settings. Now, the wilderness demands humility. The ground beneath your boots can be unpredictable. Weather can change without notice. Rivers can rise, paths can vanish, and trails can confuse even the most experienced traveler. Planning ahead, checking conditions, and preparing for the unexpected are part of respecting the land you traverse. But safety in shared spaces, especially when working or traveling with others, also demands that we respect the people around us. Each person brings their own experiences, fears, strengths, and vulnerabilities. A culture of care, where teammates watch out for one another, speak up when something feels unsafe, and take the time to know one another, can create a safety net as strong as any gear kit. Wilderness safety is about more than equipment lists or survival tools. It's about awareness, preparedness, communication, and respect. Respect for the land, for the hazards it holds, and for each person in your group. Because when you step beyond the boundaries of towns and roads into forests old enough to swallow sound, you're placing your life in the balance of forces seen and unseen. The wilderness rewards curiosity and punishes carelessness. And for every person who ventures into remote places, the greatest safety measure, above all other, remains this: know the land, know your team, and never forget the fragility of the human spirit in the face of nature's vastness. Terrence Woods Jr. stepped into that mountainside in Idaho as a young, ambitious filmmaker, a 26-year-old man chasing experience, opportunity, and the next chapter of his career. When he disappeared, he was described as 5'9", 130 to 150 pounds, light skin with very short black hair, brown eyes, and a distinct black oval tattoo on the inside of his left wrist. On October 5th, 2018, the day he vanished, he was wearing a light brown sweatshirt and black cargo pants. He was last seen running into thick forest from a steep slope, never to be seen again. Despite extensive search efforts over several days, including aerial support, canine units, and ground teams, no trace of Terrence has ever been found, and his disappearance remains unsolved. If you have any information, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, law enforcement and Terrence's family urge you to come forward. Sometimes the tiniest detail can unlock the biggest breakthrough. Please call the Idaho County Sheriff's Office at 209-983-1100. No lead is too small. A memory of a person, a vehicle, a time, or even a landscape detail could be the piece investigators need. If you were in Idaho County in October 2018, or if you know someone who was, please think back and please speak up. We want closure. We want truth. Someone out there may hold a key that brings Terrence home. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.